Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama podcast. Joining us today is Carl Powell, owner of Bricks and Minifigs in Huntsville. And for those that don't know, Bricks and Minifigs is a place where people can buy, sell, and trade all different kinds of Lego sets. Thanks for joining me today, Carl.
Hi, thank you, Malia. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk about this because I grew up with all kinds of Lego sets in the house. So before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into Legos in the first place.
All right, I'll be glad to. But let me correct you on one thing before we begin. And this is for all of the Lego fans out there. I found out early when I got started in this that the term Lego is actually a descriptive term. It's an adjective to describe something else. So the term Lego is usually used with something following it, like Lego sets or Lego toys or Lego bricks. And the term Legos is rarely used to refer to them. So Lego is kind of like the word deer. It is plural in itself. Okay. So you can say, I play with Lego. So that was an interesting thing and one of the first things I had to learn when I got started in this.
Yeah. But well, I'm today years old finding that out. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I have learned a tremendous amount in the last year. We actually opened about a year ago and just had our anniversary. And it has been a wild year. But prior to this, I had little to no Lego experience whatsoever. I grew up using other things like Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys and Erector Sets and Vacuforms and all those things that came out in the 60s. So by the time the 70s came around, I was in school and doing other things and didn't have a chance to grow up with Lego. So it's all been new to me. But my daughter, Claire, is the manager here, and she and her husband help run the store.
Okay.
And she and he are both into Lego and have been most of their lives. So it's been interesting for me to learn and to catch up with them along with everything that's happened. But I've been a businessman since the middle, well, actually all of my life. I went to business school, then I had several businesses. I worked in a family business. I've done things online and offline, and I've had a consulting company for close to 25 years or so, and finally decided I'd like to do something that's fun. And that's where this came in. My daughter had been to some similar stores, and I started thinking about how cool that would be to have a place in Huntsville that buys, sells, and trades Lego.
Yeah.
And started looking into doing it on my own, but then I found the franchise. And so Bricks and Minifigs is a franchise organization that's been in business for over 13 years.
Okay.
And they have now got somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 stores open with enough to go over 100 probably around the end of the year.
Okay.
So it's a real good franchise, very big.
Okay. That is so cool. That is really neat that it's a family business. So your daughter inspired you then to get started in this, right?
Yeah. She had over 350 minifigs when she started.
Wow.
And that's the little Lego characters. Some people call them Lego people, but we refer to them as minifigures or minifigs for short. And that's where the name Bricks and Minifigs comes from.
Okay. Oh, yep. The bricks, the Lego bricks and the, Yeah. Cause I think we probably called them Lego people.
Yeah. Well, that was easy.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother and I had all kinds of Lego sets. And of course you mentioned Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys. So we would build these, what we called Lego cities. And they would just be these elaborate little towns. And, you know, we had characters in our town. And there were Lego houses. There were Lincoln Log houses. There were, it was a whole thing.
Yeah, they're so inventive because you can do almost anything with them. A lot of people just like to buy the sets and build the sets. But then, like you say, you can add those sets to a group and become a city or, you know, a village or whatever you want to do, depending on the type of Lego you're working with.
Yeah, that is so cool. So what do you think sets your store apart from the other Lego stores out there?
Well, I think the biggest thing is if you go to a Lego brand store, they only carry new products. So a lot of the people out there listening, I'm sure, have been to a Lego store. There are Lego stores in the major cities. There are some in Nashville and You can find one in Orlando and Atlanta and places like that. So normally they're just in large cities. Mm-hmm. Well, Bricks and Minifig stores can be anywhere. And when you come in, you find out that we carry so much more because a lot of people have collections that they would have liked to have completed in the past, but they were never able to get a set. Mm-hmm. Well, Lego discontinues their sets after about 18 months to 2 years, somewhere in that range. So everything they make is scheduled for discontinuation. And part of that is so they can continue to make new sets. And part of it is because those who want to collect need to be able to try to find those as soon as they can, mm-hmm. or they may no longer be available. And that's where Bricks and Minifigs comes in. We have sets that are used. So we have everything from new-in-the-box sets that have been discontinued years ago to built sets that are on the wall. You can actually see what they look like completed, mm-hmm. and you can buy them that way, or we'll disassemble them if you need us to. And we also have something interesting called certified sets.
Okay.
A certified set is a complete Lego set that has everything except the original box. Sometimes it even has the original box, but it's been opened. It's been mm-hmm. played with. It's pre-owned.
Yeah.
But when we go in to certify one, we use the instruction set with the contents listed in the back and verify that every single brick that's supposed to be in that set is in the box.
Okay.
And it's a tedious thing to do, but when we sell one of those, we want the customers to feel like they know they're going to have everything they need to complete this set when they leave here.
Mm-hmm.
And in the unlikely event that we don't have everything in there or we missed a part or something, we guarantee them. So all you have to do is let us know. We'll find those parts and get them for you.
Okay. That is so cool. Yeah, you mentioned the Lego stores. My niece and I went to the one in Atlanta several years ago, and it was so cool. There were so many different activities you could do. And I actually have a little minifig, not a little Lego people.
Yeah.
But I have a little Wonder Woman minifig on my keychain because I loved Wonder Woman and loved playing with Lego sets. So
yeah, we carry all those type things like a Lego store would. We have most of the new products that come out.
Mm-hmm.
3 or 4 times a year, Lego releases new products. So on January 1st, they released a ton of new sets.
Okay.
And we were able to get most of those sets and have those in the store because we are an authorized Lego retailer.
Okay.
So we carry the new sets. We carry things like the keychains, like you mentioned, and we carry a lot of accessories and things like that that you can find in a Lego store. But we also have a lot of unique little things that aren't available. For instance, if you want to build one of your own sets, what we call a mock, that stands for my own creation, then you might want some extra trees or flowers or leaves for your trees, or you might want some rocks or some hills or things like that. And we've got all those parts, a lot of them separated so that you can just pick out what you need and buy only what you want. So we have tons of loose Lego parts where you can come in and fill a bag or a cup and buy most anything you need to finish your build. So it's like having everything in the Lego store and then some.
Yeah. So would you say you probably have about 50-50 used versus new sets, or do you have more? What's your ratio there?
Yeah, I think that's not far off, but normally if you include all of our certified sets along with the used sets, we probably have something like 70-30 with 30% new sets. But 30% new sets is quite a lot. For instance, the built sets we have on the wall, we probably have over 250 of those out at any one time.
Oh, wow.
And it's just like a museum. People come in and just stare at these things and say, oh, wow, I had that one. Or that's the one I grew up with. You know, this is what we're talking about. And so with that and all the new sets, we've got like rooms of new set stuff as well. So it's really a good mix.
Yeah. So your used sets that are put together, do they come in that way when people bring them in, or do y'all assemble them? How does that work?
It's a little bit of both. Yeah. A lot of people bring them in built already, and that way it gives us a good idea of knowing how complete they are.
Okay.
And that helps in the valuation. That's another thing that sets us apart is that you can bring in your old Lego items and sell them here. I mean, it's amazing that you could just bring me a tub of Lego and I can give you a quote on it and give you cash. and you can walk out the door in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know anybody else in town that buys old used toys and gives cash. You know, there are consignment places and things like that, but here you walk in, we give you an offer, and if you like it, we'll give you cash, or we'll give you credit, which is going to be probably 20% more than the amount of cash we would offer.
Yeah.
So a lot of people like that, bring in their old stuff, buy some new stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is so cool. So in the event that you do put things together, so that is your job then to play with Lego sets that day.
Sometimes it is.
That's not a bad gig.
No, it's not. We get to build Lego for fun. And we do have people that ask us all the time, especially a lot of 10 to 15-year-olds, can I get a job building stuff here? Unfortunately, that's not the biggest thing we do. The thing we do the most of is sorting Lego. Because when people bring Lego into us, invariably it will have non-Lego items in it. Mm-hmm. Now, these non-Lego items can range anywhere from, we call them fake Legos or Flego. And it's basically another brand that's compatible with Lego, but they're not Lego brand.
Yeah.
And as a Lego retailer, we're not allowed to sell those. Mm-hmm. So we have to separate every single one. So in a sense, we actually remove or touch every brick that comes in order to make sure it's really Lego. And that takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Especially when you get those that just have like the one little circle on them. My brother and I had terms. I'm going to share this. I didn't know if I should, but I'm just going to give you a little glimpse into our little Lego village.
It was like growing up.
Yes. But we had these little terms for the Legos. We called them either like Forbies, which were like with the four, you know.
Yeah. Those are called studs.
Studs. Okay. Studs. Or we called them 3Bs. We called them 2Bs or 1Bs.
So that's one of the things I had to learn early on. I had no idea what to refer to the bricks as. And so one of the things I learned is you count the rows and columns of the studs. And that's how you refer to a brick.
Okay.
So if you've got a brick that's what you probably called a 4B, it had four on the length and two across.
Yeah.
That's called a 2x4.
Oh.
It's two wide, it's four long, and it's a brick. And then you have the little flat ones that are called plates.
Okay.
So they're 1/3 the size of a brick in height, but you refer to them the same way. So you have a 2x4 plate or a 2x4 brick and that sort of thing. So it's interesting. It gets kind of weird when you have something that's referred to as like a 4x4 with inverted studs and slopes and things like that. You know, you can hardly imagine what they are until you actually touch one and say, now I see where they got that description. But rarely do we have a problem with any of that. People say, I need one that looks like this, and we help them find it.
Let me just draw it for you.
Pictures are very important in the Lego world because all of their instructions are done with pictures only.
Yeah, I love it. Now I know the correct terms. I need to go get a Lego set now, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we have plenty. I know where you can get some.
I think I do now, too. So what's the rarest, most obscure Lego set that someone has brought to the store to trade in or to sell?
That's a good question, because we've had some really rare stuff. Some of the most rare items we've had are the old castle series that was back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they are made with fewer of the new type bricks. Nowadays, Lego can build anything out of their bricks. You've probably seen some of the flower sets and other things.
Yes.
And it's amazing how good they look. But in the old days, it was really blocky. I mean, it was like working in Minecraft because everything was a square piece. So we have some older sets like that that come with some of the older minifigures. A small set with about, I don't know, let's say 150 parts could be worth as much as $600.
Whoa.
And we've had the Death Star come through, a brand new in a box Death Star.
Oh, wow.
That we sold for $3,000.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so much the guy had to cut it across two paychecks. So he brought us $1,500 and paid down on it. And we kept it for a week or so. And he came back and paid the other $1,500 to get it.
Wow.
We have one of those used right now in a box. It's been certified. And I think it's in the neighborhood of 2,000 to 2,400, somewhere along there.
Wow. So
the sets can get really expensive.
Yeah.
Even new sets get expensive. We've got a big crane in the Technic line right now that's $750. But, of course, we've got sets for $5. So they range it all the way up.
Yeah. So you've got stuff for the people who just want to play around and the people who are dead serious about this.
Yes. In fact, the ones that are the most serious, it appears, are the Star Wars fans, because Lego has had a fantastic relationship with Lucasfilms and Star Wars and Disney to cover all that. So they have sets for every season, every movie, everything that's come out almost. And those become very collectible. And when they're new in a box, can bring a lot of money. But even the used built ones, you know, still sell for $50, $60, or $100 or more, depending on the size of the piece, of course. You know, some of the pieces are big enough to cover a big table. So, you know, they make the Titanic, which is about 5 or 6 feet long. That's a huge piece.
Oh,
we haven't
goodness.
Had that one come through yet, but we will eventually. We'll have everything come through eventually. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But the Star Wars is so serious, we have our own section just for Star Wars.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
three cases, glass cases full of Star Wars figs and sets, and then lots of built sets behind them and new sets to the side. So it's a pretty cool section.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, each week we ask our Facebook followers what questions they want asked.
Oh, good.
And this seems like the perfect time to fit this question in, the winning question, because they wanted to know, what is the most valuable piece that would be the hardest to part ways with that you have right now?
Well, of course, for me, since I'm more of a businessman than a collector, it's not hard for me to part with things, but it is kind of cool to have them in the store. There are some things that I have. I've got up in the front section, I have a little shelf. It's a 4 foot long shelf that I have put things on there, and I'm referring to it as my little museum.
Okay.
So when you come to the store, if you'll turn to the left and look up, you'll see my little museum up there. And although most of the things on there aren't really expensive, I don't really want to part with them because they represent the history of Lego in the United States. For instance, when Lego first came to the United States, they had no distribution. So they made a deal with Samsonite, the luggage company, to actually distribute their products. So a lot of the products were packaged and distributed by Samsonite. And I've got one or two sets up there that were from that Samsonite time. And then we've got some old sets showing how they used to make figures for their sets, and some of the old series like the Belleville series, which was a tremendous flop. It was kind of a cross between Lego and Barbie, and the characters frankly looked kind of scary. So it was interesting, but we've got some of that up there. So as far as wanting to hang on to, that's the stuff I'd want to hang on to the most. But right now, the most expensive set I think we have is probably going to be that Death Star.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned Lego first came to the United States. Where did it come from? Where did it originate?
Lego came from Denmark. The creator, Christensen, came up with the name Lego from some Danish or German words that basically it meant to play well. And so it's a combination of two words. It's like let and go or something like that. And he shortened it to Lego. And it means play well. He started making wooden pieces. He had wooden ducks and wooden cars and things like that. And those just did okay, but he couldn't quite make a go of it. And he finally figured out, once he saw an injection molding machine, he said, I know what we can do now. And he came up with the design for the brick.
Wow.
So everything originates in Denmark, basically.
Okay.
But Lego has factories all over the world.
Okay. I love that, to play well. Because, I mean, as soon as you said that, I thought about my brother and me when we were little, playing well, you know, and having so much fun with that. Oh, I love that.
And it really is good, because they've continued with that thought that you want to play well. And the well, to me, includes inventive capabilities, so people get to use their imagination.
Yeah.
It includes engineering capabilities, because when you work with Lego bricks, you figure out, you know, structure and strength and weaknesses and physics and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And not only that, your creativity can just go out the wazoo, because you could create almost anything out of Lego, as you can see online. People have done almost anything with it.
That is
very
so
educational.
Cool.
And, you know, of course, we like to say it sure beats sitting staring at a screen doing something or watching games. You know?
Yes.
So it's more involving than other toys.
Yeah. Using your imagination, creativity, and, you know, I mean, you're right. I was thinking, as you said that, you know, you couldn't build, you know, columns too high because they would fall over. You'd have to have a little brace in there. And so you were thinking about those things.
Yeah. That's and this cool. is a good place to bring up the fact that the Bricks and Minifigs franchise has some slogans that we work within the company. And one of their slogans is bringing joy to others through Lego.
Aww.
And that was one of the things that really appealed to me, was that, you know, I wanted to be involved in a business where people were happy.
Yeah.
And they were excited and they were joyous. And I tell you, when people come in and look for a part that they need to finish their build and they can't find it, and we go to the back and pull one out and hand it to them, oh, you'd think we'd handed them $100 bill sometimes.
Aww.
They are so excited to get that one part they're missing.
A piece of gold.
Yeah. And it's exciting. And the other thing I love about it is watching the kids. The kids come in and get, oh man, they get so excited. We had a kid in the other day that was just off the chart excited, and he was screaming and pointing everything out to his parents. And you hear people, you know, mom, 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 look at this, mom, dad, dad. And it's just great to see, you know, families doing this and enjoying it together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a 3D puzzle, sort of. I mean, you're creating these masterpieces.
Yeah. I mean, you just start from an imagination. I mean, mm-hmm. I've got a good background in, I don't know what you call it, but just being able to work on things and mechanics and all sorts of visual capability. So I get it, you know. And the first thing I built was not a set.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into this, I decided, you know, I'd like to build something that relates to me. So the first thing I did was a mock, my own creation.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a teenager, my first vehicle was a three-wheeled Cushman Truckster. Now, most people have no idea what this is, but it's just a three-wheeled cart that had like a little cab on the front.
Yeah.
And it's similar to what the old mail delivery trucks were, really old. And it had a truck bed on the back. And so I made one of these out of Lego. And I thought, that's pretty cool, but, you know, I think it could be a little better. So I made a second one that looks even more like it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way Lego comes up with sets. They've got people that say, well, I'd like to build something and let's see what it would look like. And they just keep trying until they make it look like they want it.
Yeah.
So you can do that yourself. You know, create almost anything that you have seen or own.
Yeah, that is so cool. That's so neat. Well, you talk about some of the different types of events that you have at your store on the website. Can you explain some of those events?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of fun here. That's part of the bringing joy. So the biggest one we have is birthday parties.
Oh, fun.
A lot of people are looking for something different to do for a birthday party. They've done bowling. They've done game rooms. They've done, you know, Chuck E. Cheese. They've done these things. And at all of those places, it's really hard to contain. The kids run off. You don't know where they are. You get worried about people getting, you know, kidnapped or something because it's, you know, it's a wide open space. You know, I remember the last time I went to Chuck E. Cheese, you know, they had metal detectors and you had to get keyed and have wristbands that match your parents and that kind of thing. And it's kind of scary. But we have a party room that is inside of our building. So you come through the building to get to it. And it has everything you need in there. We have the tables, tablecloths, napkins, plates, forks, spoons, all of that stuff. And we have a racetrack. So this is kind of like a Pinewood Derby goes Lego.
Oh,
so they come in and they have these little Lego chassis with four wheels and a base plate. And they can build their own cars and race them down the track. And they always have a blast doing this.
That is so fun.
And so the party's self-contained. We provide everything but the food and the gifts. You get to come in. It's a 90-minute process. They get to race the cars or build anything they want. And then at the end of it, they all build a minifigure of their own that they get to take home for themselves.
Oh,
so cool. It's a blast, and that's a lot of fun. But we also utilize that room for other things. During the school year, we have what we call Homeschool Mondays. So a Homeschool Monday is simply an hour and a half from 10:30 to 12 on a Monday morning, where people who homeschool can bring their kids in and have a playtime. They also get to use the race car track and that sort of thing. But we try to go in and teach them just a little something about Lego while they're here. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a little bit of an educational process. In fact, one of the things I taught them was how to count these bricks. You know, this is a 1x2, this mm-hmm. is a 2x4, that sort of thing. So we teach those things and some movement exercises and things that make cars move and that kind of thing. But that's a lot of fun for people. But the one that seems to be the most popular is our race nights.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have this track, on our race nights, we actually hook up the timing computer and can actually get times for these racers down to like the thousandths of a second. So we bring in all these people who have built their cars. They just buy a kit to get started, and they can build it any way they want within the parameters. They bring it in on a Friday night when we're having a race night, and they get to do practice runs and all this. And then the winners get freebies from the store. So we either give them a gift certificate or maybe a minifig card or something like that to let them come in and have a little more fun. So those are some of the things we do. But then we all through the year, we have sales. We have special fun times. On St. Patrick's Day, we'll probably do the same thing we did last year, which is the digging for gold. And we have these certain little gold plates that we put down inside of all of our bulk. And then more or less, as soon as we open the door, people start looking for them. And when you get one, it'll have a number on it that will correspond to a free gift.
Fine.
And that was so popular last year, we could hardly believe it. So that was a lot of fun. And then May the 4th comes up, and we'll have the special Star Wars Day celebration for May the 4th be with you. And we always have a lot of things going. Sometimes we'll have some of our employees will dress up as Star Wars characters.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just do things like that throughout the year. So whenever we get a chance, we try to do something fun and bring people in. We had people come in for Halloween this year, you know, and if you dressed in a costume, you got a freebie. And we gave things away at our grand opening on December 10th when we celebrated our first anniversary. So we have a lot of fun, a lot of events.
Yeah, that sounds so cool. I love it. And I'm thinking, you know, you're talking about the race night, and I'm thinking like homeschool, that's probably good lessons to talk to the kids about what makes a Lego car more aerodynamic and how you can make it where it would go faster, and whole science lesson there.
and people actually, we've actually seen kids try a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
We brought one in, we told them it could weigh no more than so much, like 9.5 ounces or something like that.
Yeah.
And one kid brought in a car, and we picked it up and thought, man, this thing feels like it weighs a pound. But we looked at it. He had made containers in the front and the back that he had filled up with pennies to give it more weight. And we thought, oh, we're going to have to throw this out. We put it on the scale, and it came up at like 9.3 ounces. So he got to race. But the funny thing was, he didn't win. So, you know, you got to try different things. Maybe it's weight. Maybe it's like you say, maybe it's the aerodynamics. You know, you never know what's going to win.
That is so cool.
It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. The kids just love it. So it's something we want to continue to do when school starts back.
That is neat. Well, what would you say has been the most unexpected thing about being the owner of Bricks and Minifigs?
Well, I've been in a lot of businesses, and I have enjoyed working in a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been the most fun of anything I've ever done.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy coming to work. My employees pinch themselves because they can't believe they get to work at a Lego store. And we enjoy everything about it. We enjoy working with the customers. We enjoy, you know, counting all the parts to make sure everything's complete for a certification. We enjoy sorting through the Legos and finding the surprises that we find in there. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the surprises we find in there are really weird. And I've got a jar on one of the counters full of things that we were told were all Lego. but it includes batteries, flashlights, baseballs, golf balls, pencils, pens.
That's funny.
Nails. We've even found bullets inside Lego. It's crazy. But we do always get a surprise when we go through bulk to find something that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Since I didn't grow up in Lego, almost every day I see a part that I've never seen before. And that's fascinating to me. It's almost like rediscovering some kind of history.
Yeah, that is so cool.
The fact that it's so fun, I think, and how much I enjoy the customers. We've got customers that come in over and over and over. We've gotten to know them. We call them by name. You know, it's like walking into Cheers and everybody goes, Norm. Well, we've got some customers that we do that with. And it's been fun to get to know them and to, you know, to help the people that need to sell something and need to bring. We had one young man come in and bring a bunch of stuff. And he said, I got married and we're going to have a baby, or we've just had a baby, he said. And he said, I've got to sell this stuff because we need the money and I need to make some room. And so I did everything I could for him and got him some good price for it. But before they left, I gave their little boy a little piece of a little Lego Duplo car, which are made for the under fives and doesn't have any small parts. And I said, here, I want him to get started in Lego. But they were so thrilled, you know, that we took care of them. So it's nice to be able to help people out when they need it and to help people find what they need. All of it is just a lot of fun.
Yeah. This whole episode has been fun. I'm so grateful that you joined me today.
Oh, it's been great to be here. We just love telling people about it. And the really weird thing I've noticed is that no matter how hard we try, every day people come in and say, we didn't even know you were here. And we have advertised on radio, on TV, and Facebook, on Google, and all, you know, Instagram, and all this. And still, there are probably 80% of the people in the area that don't know we're here. But we have become a destination for people all over the state. We're the only Lego-only store in the state. So we're the largest Lego retailer. There may be some big box stores that have a lot of Lego, but they don't have the selection we have.
Yeah.
And
Or the customer service.
No, there's no customer service. You know, here,
or the fun events.
We've got people that can answer questions about your Lego stuff. You know, if you've got a question about a Star Wars character or a set or something, I've got two guys that know just everything there is to know about Star Wars.
So
we really enjoy being of service to people and helping people find the right piece for whoever they're buying for.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Facebook and Instagram, tell our listeners where they can find you on social media and your website.
Well, the easiest way is to go to our website first, because it's just bricksandminifigshuntsville.com, and you spell out the word and.
Okay.
So bricksandminifigshuntsville.com. And then on that page, you'll find links to our Facebook and our Instagram and YouTube. We don't have very many YouTubes up yet, but we're working on that.
Okay.
So just scroll down to the bottom. You'll see the links right there. And we're easy to find. And you can look up Bricks and Minifigs Huntsville either on Google or Facebook, and we'll pop right up.
Okay.
So we would love to have you join us and sign up and follow us.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks so much for being my guest. This has been fun.
Yeah, it has been a lot of fun, Malia. I really appreciate you inviting me, and I hope your listeners really enjoyed our discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.